Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I welcome you to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Isn't it a glorious day in which we're living? Praise God. How exciting is it to know the living God? Praise God, the Almighty God who created heaven and earth. And if you've accepted Jesus into your heart, into your life, then we have that amazing ability, that amazing privilege that we can know our God, not just His acts as the children of Israel, but as Moses, that we can seek to learn and know His ways, His character, who He is, the things that are important to Him. And beloved, at this wonderful time of year, as we are in the process of celebrating the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ at this Easter season, let us be rejoice and be glad, because Jesus really is alive. And there may be some listening, you may be young in the faith, or perhaps you're not even a believer. And on this broadcast, I'd like to share some passages of Scripture found in the Gospel of Mark and talk about the real message of Easter, about the resurrected Christ. How do we know that a man who was killed, crucified, actually rose from the dead? Let me read the scriptural account found in Mark, the 16th chapter, verses 1 through 7. And when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him, referring to Jesus. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, "Who shall roll away the stone from the door of the sepulchre?" And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a white garment. And they were affrighted. And he saith unto them, "Be not affrighted. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go your way, tell his disciples and Peter, that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him, as he said unto you." And they went out quickly and fled from the sepulchre, for they trembled and were amazed. Neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid. Praise God. So here we have the Gospel of Mark's account of what happened when the women went to the sepulchre very early the first day of the week to anoint Jesus. And they met an angel who gave them the message to go on into Galilee, and gave them a message, "Tell Peter, tell the disciples that he's going on ahead of you, just as he said." So let's look at this statement that the angel of the Lord spoke, that Christ arose. And I'd like to share with you how prophecy, how history, as well as reason, amply testify of the fact that Christ indeed rose from the dead. In prophecy, as we first looked at that, let's go to the second chapter of Acts, and I'd like to start reading at verse 22. And here Peter's saying, "Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and signs and wonders, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know, him, being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope. Listen to this. Because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine holy one to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Praise God. Peter was showing how King David prophesied the resurrection of the Messiah. He declared, David did, in Psalm 16, 8 through 11, how the Holy One of God would not be abandoned in Hades, nor leave his soul in hell. Let me just share that. In verse 10 of Psalm 16, for thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou wilt shew me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. So we see prophecy, these few verses I've shared with you. Now, what about a testimony of history? Well, back to the second chapter of Acts in verse 29, Peter goes on to say, men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. I know when we were in Jerusalem, that was one of the high points of the trip. The various places that we saw was to go to the sepulcher of King David. And as the apostle is saying, David was buried, as well, of course, as many notable religious figures throughout the centuries. As far as religious figures, there was Buddha, there was Muhammad, there was Confucius. However, only Jesus died, and only is his tomb empty. Let me read now 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, and I'm going to start reading at verse 13. But if there be no resurrection of the dead, Paul says, then is Christ not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead not rise. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But he goes on to say, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. Praise God. So we see the testimony of history, we've looked at the testimony of prophecy, and now let's just look at logic and common sense and reason. Jesus' tomb was empty. What happened to the body? Was it raised, as the Christian faith declares, or was it perhaps stolen? If we say that his body was resurrected, well, we are in agreement with Scripture. If perhaps the body was stolen, who took it? Well, it had to be taken by the disciples or friends of Jesus or his enemies. Now, what about the tomb? Was it secure? Was it safe enough? Well, there was a huge one-ton boulder rolled from a nearby hillside and slammed into the mouth of the tomb, sealing it from mourners and curious sightseers. The cave tomb was virtually impenetrable, and it was guarded by an armed Roman garrison. So, if Jewish or Roman authorities had taken the body, just think about this. The entire Christian message could have been doomed in one masterful and dynamic stroke by simply showing the body, giving the evidence, revealing the body of Jesus, and thereby the entire message of the disciples could be exposed as a hoax. Obviously, the Jews feared conversions, and the Romans feared the riots that eventually occurred. Yet, there was no body produced because no body existed. Well, let's now look, did the disciples steal the body? Well, both before and after Jesus was crucified, we see from Scripture that they were terribly discouraged. They were almost defeated. Their messianic hopes were dashed with the death of their leader, who died on a Roman cross like a common criminal. They would have had to instantly overcome deep, paralyzing discouragement as well as fear. Not only that, they would have had to overpower a strong, disciplined, armed Roman guard. It's virtually inconceivable that the disciples would preach that Jesus was alive at the risk of their own lives. Remember, they were in hiding behind closed doors. If he had not truly risen from the dead, would they do that? Certainly, they would not be willing to face probable persecution, suffering, and even death for something they knew to be a lie. Look at Peter. He denied Jesus three times. He was overwhelmed with what was happening, even though the Lord tried to prepare all of them. And he denied that he even knew Jesus. It was overwhelming. I mean, they were totally undone by the events of Jesus' arrest, his suffering, his scourging, his crucifixion, his death. They were totally at a loss. And so, beloved, we have to look at prophecy, at history, at reason, and say that the Christian message and belief that Christ indeed was resurrected has to be factually accurate and true. And of course, those who have accepted Jesus, it's hard to confirm what you know in your heart. But God is real. That old song we used to sing, "He's real in my soul. My God is real because he has touched me and made me whole." There's the subjective experience of having been transformed, our personal testimony, and no one can take that from us. Well, my time has just flown by, and we'll continue this tomorrow. I do invite you to join me at the same time. Monday through Friday, we're heard over this station. And in a moment, the announcer will give you our contact information. I love to hear from new folks. If you've been listening a while and the Holy Spirit is prompting you, just connect by means of letter, snail mail, or an email, and I'd be delighted to get back to you. God bless you. I love you. And until next time, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You have been listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at either P.O. Box 218, Tracy, California, 95378, or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop her an email. Again, our address is P.O. Box 218, Tracy, California, 95378, and that web address is unveiledchrist.org. And as you write, remember your prayers and tax-deductible offerings of support enable us to keep this broadcast ministry on the air. Thank you for joining us. God bless.